Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Dial, please check the number and dial again, or dial 61.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Keep hold and you'll be able to...
All right, we have been having trouble. I mean, trouble. Trying to get on this blog talk for the last couple of weeks. So I don't know, but anyway, we're trying to begin the day. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Truly, we give honor and thanks to the Lord for being on the broadcast today. We were experiencing trouble on last Sunday, and so it looked like we were getting ready to experience some more trouble this Sunday, but thank God it worked itself out. Anyway, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. We thank God for each and every one of you that will be logging in, those that will be calling in, and those that will be listening to the broadcast later, and those that will join us here live on Facebook Live. We thank God for each and every one of you. We pray, we plead the blood of Jesus over your lives, and we pray that all will be well with you and that the Lord will bless you richly. And God will continue to be a blessing into your lives and continue to pour into your lives daily, and that the Lord will be with you everywhere you go. His arms of protection will be around about you. He'll be like a wall of fire around about you. We thank God for each. We thank God Elder Timberlake is on the line today. We're going to go ahead and continue to talk about humility. So excited about it, to continue this conversation, building a better relationship with God through humility. And then we're gonna add one to this because the Lord gives me series, so this is a part of our series, and we've been talking about it for a while, different topics. But he done added compassion because we're gonna talk about that for a minute too. Because if we're gonna be like Jesus, we gotta have some compassion along with some humility, because Christ was our perfect example, and he walked this earth in humility. He wasn't arrogant about it, and he was God. So, you know, if he was God and it wasn't arrogant, that means that we really shouldn't be. So, anyway, we're here today. We're going to talk about that. So let's quickly pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God, we thank you that you are a shepherd and that we shall not want. We thank you, Lord, that if we delight ourselves also in thee, that you'll give us the desires of our heart. And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you are our way maker, our miracle worker. We thank you, God. Lord, I want to pray for all of those on the line. I've had so many people come say that they have had reoccurrences of illnesses and things like that. And we are pleading the blood of Jesus over their lives. Lord, we thank you because when you heal us, Lord, we're healed. And, God, so we want to make sure that we are healed, that we are healed. We are healed. The word says that we are that by the blood of, that we are healed by his stripes, we are healed. So we are healed. So, God, we speak healing over the lives of your people that are experiencing illness. Oh, God, we know that you are a healer. And so, Lord, we thank you for healing. We're claiming divine healing right now in the name of Jesus for each and every one. Lord, we thank you, oh, God, hallelujah, that you are a way maker. So we thank you, Lord, for making ways this week when we didn't know how the way was going to be made. But, Lord, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace, God. We thank you for it. We thank you for your miracle-working power. Lord, how you're turning pages for us right now, and you're writing things off, and you're doing things that we may not even know, but we are believing you for it. So, God, we thank you right now, and we praise your holy name, and we glorify. And we also, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless us this week as we go to and fro, oh God, Lord, that you will bless and keep us, oh God, bless us on our jobs, turn decisions around in our favor, God. We thank you for favor, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to bless this word, that, Lord, it will fall on good ground, and that those that need it will hear it, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray, amen and amen. So we are talking about building a better relationship with God through humility, and I'm telling you, I was so excited this morning. You know, I get excited. I had such a treat this morning. I'm saying I did. I know all the people God did, but I always talk about my church. Amen. We had a good time this morning. I know you all had good times at your churches too, with all your wonderful pastors preaching the gospel this morning. But I thank God we had a treat. I looked up there and it was Elder Pastor Bishop Jackie McCullough. I was so excited about that. I didn't know what to do. And then the choir sung one of my good old favorite songs from back in the day. Our choir back home used to sing this song. Everything you need, God got it. And I say that's a declaration we all need to make and say to ourselves, everything I need, God's got it. Whatever it is, God has got it. So we thank all of you once again. I'm going to thank, because I know I did this before people started coming on, but I thank all of you that are logging in, those that are calling in, and those that will listen to the broadcast later, and also for those that are joining me here live on Facebook. So you're going to see my face, but you'll hear Elder Timberlake's voice, because she's not on Facebook, but anyway, she's going to talk about humility. Elder Timberlake, in Jesus' name I pray, man, I've got to say that. Anyway, go ahead, Elder Timberlake, I'm handing it over to you.
All right, Elder, good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be here. We're glad we are here this time. We were ready last time, but we thank God for this time. And since last time, I had another topic to talk about, and it's amazing. Maybe it wasn't supposed to be said because he's giving me something else. And so we just believe in God today that something is said that will prick or permeate somebody's heart, that will somebody will be enlightened, somebody will be encouraged, and somebody will be uplifted. That is our hope and prayer in Jesus' name. Yes, as Elder Bryson has said, we're still talking about building relationship through humility with God. And as a subtopic to that and dealing with humility, we've been talking about the issue that many of us, that our spiritual lives have been attacked by, and that is the spirit of pride. And we want to continue in that mode as we're about ready to wind this topic down a little bit, but we want to get to this point. And God gave me a thought, which we've just been teaching before, but he gave me a thought this time. Today we're going to talk about realignment of our expectations, realignment of expectations. It sort of goes along with what went on in our service today that Elder Bryson was talking about. So we're talking about God's steadfast love. And the reason why we want to operate in humility, it is all about love. God is, he loves us so much, and he's proven and done so much for us. And all he's asking us to do is reciprocate his love by being obedient to his word and to his will. As we surrender to him, that allows him to operate in us and through us so his will can be, his work can be done, and we internally reciprocate the blessings of the Lord in our lives and over our lives. So we're going to go to a scripture today because we want to use the children of Israel because they depict for us some of the things that we're dealing with today because we deal with pride. And God gives a warning to them about pride, the same warning that he has given to the children of Israel, he has given to us. So if you have your Bibles today, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And that's where God is calling the children of Israel unto obedience. And I just want to say before I begin reading, he's calling the people of God today, he's calling mankind unto obedience. Because as I always say, we're living in this world, but we are in his story. He created us for his purpose, and this world and all the other worlds created, all the other nations created, they are for God's purpose. And we are here, he wants us to give him glory and honor. And because he blessed us sometimes, we, like the children of Israel, get a little distracted. So let's begin reading in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we're going to begin with verse 11, which reads, Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when you have eaten and are full, and has built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flock multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and droughts, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I will testify against you, and this day that ye shall surely perish, as the nations with the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye will not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Mm-hmm. Lord, let it be a blessing to his word, because that's powerful. When I was reading the scripture this week, my God, I just could see me and I could see the world that I'm living in. And I said, Lord, if there ever was a time, I think I say this almost every time, if ever was a time that we need to operate in humility and seek God's face and to line up with his word, it is now. Because we're living in dangerous times where we're living where right is wrong and wrong appears to be right. I'm reminded of the old secular song that said, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Knowing that you know what you're doing is wrong, but you enjoy what you're doing, and you act like you deserve it, and act like you have earned it. And that's what we want to talk about today, because our expectations need to be adjusted. So we're going to talk about the realignment of our expectations today, using the children of Israel as our backdrop. To build a better relationship with God, it is imperative that we do an internal inspection and realignment of ourselves to ensure that our expectations are in accordance with God's purposes and his priorities, not ours, his. Because when our expectations are aligned with his will and his word, we'll find ourselves at the foot of the cross. Brothers and sisters, yes, of the gospel, and those are maybe listening, they don't know God today. This is where we want to be. We want to be at the foot of the cross so we can have an ear to hear, so we can be teachable, so when we think we're right, so when we hear the truth, that we'll be able to realign ourselves and walk therein. For the Bible says, as we are enlightened to walk therein. So as we hear the truth, we need to make an adjustment. Totally surrendered, living a life totally surrendered to Him, which is living a life of humility, which is pleasing to God. As I just forestated, we are here because He wants us to please Him. We're supposed to be pleasing Him. That should be our priority. What is it that you want? Now, let's look at the children of Israel. God has done mighty for them. They have been in bondage for over 400 and something 30 years. They've gone through, God brought them out on dry land in a miraculous way through the Red Sea. And then when they get on the other side, there's doubt. We're still not trusting God. That is the way we are today. When we look at some of our situations today, many of us have wildernesses in our lives. We've had challenges. We've had to go through some things. The enemy has come up against us all kind of ways, and we've had to didn't know which way we were going to do. But just like the children of Israel, they had to depend on God. That's what we have to do today, is depend on God. He constantly did miraculous things for them. And if you keep reading the Bible, you see they kept falling backwards because there's something about this flesh that keeps wanting to satisfy itself, like that song. I know it's wrong, but I don't want to be right. I want to do what's wrong because it feels good. It satisfies the flesh. So when we look at the children of Israel in the book at this point at the 11th verse in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses is admonishing them to not forget what God has done for you. Remember, you just came through, you're wandering 40 years in the wilderness, about ready to go to possess your land, the promised land that's been promised to us, promised to them, just like we've been promised a greater reward if we continue to live right and please Him and do His will. We have a promise, too, in this life. And we have a promise in the life to come, to live with Jesus forever. But he admonished them because he knew, like we know today, people are fickle and our memory gets short. When we're in trouble, like the children of Israel, when they were in trouble, they wanted to call on God. When they were in Egypt, they wanted some deliverance. When they needed a way to get away from Pharaoh and his army, and God opened up provision miraculously, they walked through it. And then, you know, when they got on the other side, Miriam is, you know, playing the tambourine, they're rejoicing, and they're happy. But all of a sudden, then once we forget. So he's reminding them, like I want to remind us, let's not forget how good God has been to us. Because when you had everything, when your needs were met, and you were being blessed, because when they were walking in the children of Israel, they didn't have there were no restaurants to go get some food, and they were hungry. And God sent them heavenly food and fed them. And then they didn't have to change clothes, and their feet didn't swell. Now, I can change, got multiple shoes and can change this and then change clothes, but sometimes my feet swell, my ankles swell. I go for it. They didn't have that. And all they had on was the clothes that they had come out of Egypt with for 40 years. They didn't have no leg swelling and the shoes didn't rot. And when they needed food, they were there and they were protected and they had all kind of shelter. Just like many of us today, God has provided us with houses. He's given us jobs. He's given us opportunity. He's given us money. He's allowed us to get education. He's given us positions. And many a times in those positions we were not careful, we find ourselves getting caught up and thinking, oh, I did this because of my own intelligence, of my own abilities. And not so. God said, put the brakes on it. It's not about you. It's my story. It's about me. I have given you this for my glory or for my edification, and you need to remember that like Moses is, like the children of Israel reminded in the story that I just read today. We need to realign the way we're thinking. When I say realign, that means if our expectations, if we thinking God should do this and God should do that, and it ought to work out this way, and why this one being blessed and I'm not being blessed. Let's take a self-inspection and let's examine ourselves. Let's take our eyes off our brothers and sisters for a moment and put them on us. Turn the light on us. Like we ask God, turn the light on me. Like, be like David and say, purge me with hyssop.
Yeah.
And wash me so I'll be whiter than snow. Because I want to be clean. When you really get serious with God, and this is the time, ladies and gentlemen, to get serious with God. Because trouble is coming, and we haven't seen all the things that's going to happen yet, but it seems like you think it's okay for this moment. It doesn't even last. It's like 24 hours, then something other drastically event is occurring in our lives or in our neighborhoods or in the world that will eventually, if it's not touching you today, it's going to impact you in some kind of way. So we want to remember, if you live in, don't look down on your brother that's having a down day today, because it could be you tomorrow. If you haven't lost your job, and if you can have a house to stay in, and you're able to pay your bills, and you can travel, go all you want to go, and splurge and just do what you want to do, don't forget your brothers and sisters and look down on them, because you've have favor in your life. But don't think you have all that because of you. Don't think that you're such a much, because it is God that give us the power to get wealth. So in order to have that type of mentality, you have to be in the mode of humility. You have to always be humble enough to say, if it had not been for the Lord that blessed me with these things, I wouldn't have them. It is because of him that I have. It is because of him that I can think the way I think, and I can make decisions that people get paid for to make major decisions in corporations, or I can come up with ideas or invent things. These are giftings and talents that God has given us, and we need to always remember that they came from him and give him glory. If we are not, then it is time for the self-inspection so we can realign our expectations. And just because, just like the children here, just because God had brought them through, they, you know, having this attitude, they're thinking because he brought us through, he's helped us to fight these battles, he's going to always be there for me, and he's going to do this for us, and we always going to win. But if you keep reading the story about the children of Israel, you find that there were some battles they did not win. Because God, the reason why they had to wander so much, because he was putting them in the process of testing them, because they needed to be disciplined, and they need to have a level of becoming to obedience. Just like we today, brothers and sisters, we need to be disciplined. So God will allow things to happen in our lives. I'm of the age now, or I'm growing. I think I'm growing in the Lord a little bit. And it has come to me, and it has helped me through many situations. That things happen in life but under two circumstances. Either God ordained it or he allowed it. I know we say the devil did it, but I know God is more powerful than the devil. The devil might have done it, but the devil can't do what God does not allow. So if something is challenging us and we're facing some things in our lives and we say it's the devil, but then we have to remember, if God allowed it, what is the purpose of it? And then we would change our focus on how we pray and don't get caught up with the situation or the challenge that we're facing. But we'll begin to speak to the thing, like we're supposed to speak to the mountain and it be removed, to speak to the thing, put the word of God on it. Because that's what he wanted the children of Israel to realize, that they are not living by bread alone, but every word that's proceeded out of the mouth of God. God was continually speaking to give them a word, a rhema word, like he is doing today. Because we have to realize, because God is blessing us and doing things for us, we need to know his word and know that he has an ever-evolving word for our lives. Because the word he spoke to us today, for us to do something, he might have something else for us to do. So we need to have an ear, and we need to be in a position humbly at his feet, a posture of surrender, so we can hear when he is speaking to us. If we're not there, brothers and sisters, let's begin to examine ourselves and ask God to purge us with hyssop and wash us. Wash us from the inside out. Make us the vessel of honor that he's asking for us. Because in order to have that relationship with God, We must build, become a vessel of honor, because we have to be submissive to his will. This flesh of ours, it wants to do its own thing when it wants to do it at all times. And if we're not careful, it'll begin to put itself in place of God. Many of the things that we do, and we've talked about it in previous topics, some of the attitudes and dispositions that we present to others, they are operating in the spirit of pride. When you're looking at somebody else, you wonder, why are they always having pride? They must be doing something wrong. Something must be going on in their life, because every time I turn around, they're going through something. Something is going on with them. Just because they haven't hit your house yet,
okay,
you're operating in the spirit of pride. That is not love. We're talking about God is love, and when we talk about operating in the spirit of humility, we've got to show love to our brothers and sisters, and we have to be careful what comes out of our mouth. The last time we spoke or we talked about what Jesus told his disciples, it's not what goes into a man that defile him. It's what's coming out. So that's why we need to be purged. We need to get some stuff out of us that maybe we don't notice in us. And that's what God was doing for the children of Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness. He was disciplining them and testing them, because some of them didn't even know this stuff was in them. We think we okay sometimes. We talk about being religious and being spiritual, but we don't have God. We're not operating in God's spirit. We have spirituality, and we have religious. We're religious, but we don't listen to the word. We're not obedient to the word. We know the letter of the word, but not the spirit of the word. And we've got to get the connectivity to the word, the spirit of the word, because the Bible says the letter alone killeth. But it doesn't get. But the word gives life. So if we want to give life to our own situation, if we want to be able to give life to our brothers and sisters, if we want to give life to others that's going through, we've got to purge ourselves and line up with the word of God and let the spirit of God anoint the word. Let it become rhema word to us, revelatory to us, so it can give life and have power, be logos, so it can go through and destroy yokes and things that the word of God can be sharper than a two-edged sword, so we can cut asunder, not me knowing the letter of the word and quoting the word, trying to be melodious. So you can think I know the Bible better than you and that I can interpret it better than you. Many of us interpret the word, but do we have a revelatoryness of the word? Did God reveal this to you, or is it just your interpretation that you're trying to put on somebody else? So we need to realign our expectations of expecting God always supposed to do this, and he's going to do this. Now, God has obligated himself to do things for us. If we abide in his word and his word abide in us, he told us to keep his commandments. He's told us to love one another. He's told us to forgive. Yes, he has obligated himself for those that say we are the household of faith if we are doing his will and his word. If we want God to keep his word and his commitment, we must keep our word and our commitment to him. But love is a two-way street. He's given us love, and he has given and he has shown us love. It needs to be reciprocated. It's all about love. When we talk about humility, it's all about love, you all. We're talking about love. It was a humble thing that God did when he gave his son for us, undeserving us.
Yes, it was.
Sin for us, lost us. It was all about love, and it was an act of humility because, you know, Jesus was used to living high, and he was royalty, and he didn't have to do it but love. The same approach, brothers and sisters, that we need to do for our brothers and sisters, that we need to be in tune with one another so we can show as Elder Bryson was mentioning that we're going to be talking about compassion, so we can show the compassion of God. See what God did. Let's realign ourselves and look at our lives and see, are we looking at each other the way God is looking at us? Are we even seeing ourselves the way God is seeing us? Because the enemy will come in and try to trick us and tell us, God doesn't love you. If he did, you wouldn't be going through this. This wouldn't have been happening to you. Or you did something wrong. This is why things are facing you. You need to put the devil in his place. But the only way you can really put the devil in his place if we've said over and over, the Bible says, submit yourself unto God. What's your humility? Once you submit yourself to God, then the word says, resist the devil, and he will flee. We struggle with resisting the devil because we don't submit. We want to build that relationship with God in accordance with his word. And always remember that it was God that has brought us thus far. We're living and breathing today because of God. We might not have the best of everything that we think we should have or we want, but we're not as bad off as we were when we were children or years ago. And he has blessed us. And even if we're going through, some of us are not outdoors. Some of us still got cars and shelters. Some of us have got good health and strength. We need to learn to be thankful for what God has done and what he is doing in our lives. So this is why I'm admonishing us today to realign our expectations, to start an internal expectation of myself instead of always expecting God, do this, do that, do this like he's our sugar daddy. But look and see, what am I doing? What am I doing that he's expected of me to do? Turn the light on our own selves to see what we can do or should be doing so we can always remember God and how he has been so good to us and how he has continually blessed us, because pride will make you think that you've done this on your own and that all that you've accomplished, you did it in your own strength. It'll make you think that nobody after a while can tell you anything. And it'll make you talk down to somebody instead of lifting them up. It'll make you prejudge somebody when you don't even know what's going on in their life. We look at people sometimes, we don't know when we see people, even at church or whenever in the stores that we haven't seen for a long time, or even when we call them on the phone. We don't know what kind of day they've had, but we look at them and we judge their countenance in a negative way instead of saying something encouraging to build them up. Or even if they have confided in us, we use the confidentiality information that's been provided. We use it as a tool to beat them down. That is not love. And if we are operating in that mode, we need to readjust and examine ourselves. Because the Bible said before we go judging somebody else, we need to consider ourselves before we try to correct somebody else. So we need to look at ourselves to make sure that where we're coming from is at a pure heart. We're coming from a thing. Because what God is dealing with, when we talk about humility, we're talking about the heart. When God was dealing with the children of Israel in this scripture, he was trying to see their heart. Were they just going along with him because of what he'd done for them, because everything he would do for them? Because, you know, there's some friends like that. As long as you're able to give them stuff and you make them look good or you're doing stuff for them, they're your friend. But why is the friend when you don't have and they're there for you and they still come through when you're going through? Those are the ones you know, those are your friends. Those are the ones that's proven to be trustworthy, to be loyal, because that's what God is seeking of us.
Yes.
He's telling the children of Israel, telling us through the message to the children of Israel, don't forget what I've done for you. I was doing it for you because I was letting you know that I love you, but I was trying to build trust. When we do things and build relationship with one another, and we keep our word, and we fellowship, and we show people kindness, it helps them to trust us. And that's what God is doing with us. He's done things for us to let us know that we can trust him. He's a God that's dependable. He's a God that can do anything but fail. And and we've tried and we've seen that it works. And remember, when you overcome one obstacle, another one is coming, and it might be more challenging. And sometimes we get so weak that we feel as if we can't pray, and the enemy will try to make you think, ain't nothing to that anyway. You need to go back, just like told the children of Israel said, we might as well stayed in Egypt. We ain't got nothing to eat. At least we had some leeks and some lentils. But he'll bring back your old past and bring up stuff that when you really look at it truthfully, it wasn't all that in the first place. Something was missing, something was lacking, and you was going through back then too. But now that your eyes of understanding have been enlightened, let's stay in a life of expecting God to keep his word as we keep our word. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say at this point? All right. Well, let's continue, because when we look at humility, as I just said, in overcoming pride, because pride is a dangerous tool to a Christian life. It is detrimental, is a better word, to our Christian life. And if Satan uses it, and he uses it so subtle, this is why I think God has given me this to talk about, because it needs to be exposed. So some things we think is okay, it is not. We've justified it. We allowed it to be justified in our spirit, and we think we're okay. And God has given us some revelations that, no, it is not okay. We need to fix that. We need to adjust that. We need to align that. We need to correct that. And as you come into the light, begin to walk therein. Because as you can see at the end, in the, when he told us in the 19th verse, it was saying, if you forget God and start walking after the other gods, because you know how it is, it looked like the grass looked greener on the other side, looked like the other people doing better than we are, looked like I'm always struggling, and this sister seemed like she's not even trying to live right, or not even trying to do as much as I'm trying to do for you, Lord, and look like you're blessing this one, but I'm not being blessed. That is operating, that's pride in that, because now you have become your own God, because it's all about you and not about God. And so we have to watch what's coming out of us. But when we really hear it, then ask God to forgive us and correct it and then make the necessary adjustment, because there's penalties. There's some consequences to walking in pride. Let's look at some. Last time we talked about the Philistines and I think one other one, but what, like Nebuchadnezzar. He's a good testament in the Old Testament to tell us he was a high king, one of the greatest kings, Babylonian kings of all times, and he was powerful. He overtook Jerusalem. He destroyed the temples, and he took Judah into captivity. And, you know, he began to boast on all of what he had done and all his wisdom and all that he had accomplished. But see, when God blesses us, remember, it is he that gives us all these gifts and talents and these abilities to be successful. We got to remember where it has come. And when we start taking the glory of ourselves, just like Nebuchadnezzar did, God, the Bible lets us know, they said, while the words were still coming out of the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. Sometimes, you're not careful. When you get caught up in pride, God might have blessed you and given you many talents and given you many things. If you're not careful, you say it's the devil. But God will use whatever, whomever, to take away things that he has allowed you to be blessed with if you forget from whence you have come. And because Nebuchadnezzar got lifted up in pride, and then, you know, you think you got everybody around him and they can interpret your dreams. He couldn't find anybody. He had a dream and he couldn't interpret it. But when Daniel came around, was able to interpret. Now here he wanna, you know, when he wanted Daniel, you know, they wanna pay people. You know how we wanna pay for stuff. But what did Daniel let? No, it's not mine. It's not mine to give. So he didn't take anything from the king. But he let the king know that he was gonna be punished. God was gonna do something to him. And 7 years, this man, because of pride, 7 years a king used to having royalty, having money, having all this, lived outside with the cattle under the dew, eating what the cattle ate. And, that, you know, to be humbled. But when the 7 years is up, the Bible says that he looked up to heaven, and he looked up to heaven, and he had to admit himself that there he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, my understanding and the right use of my mind returned to me, and I bless the Most High God, and I praised and honored and glorified him who lives forever. This is a heathen king giving honor and praise to our heavenly almighty God.
Yes.
Now, if a heathen person that don't know God can come to the realization that there is a God that supersedes all the power, all the authority that we have, and all the riches that we may have accomplished. If a heathen king that didn't know God could come to that revelation, what about us today? We that sit in the houses that hear the word of God going forth, or we can turn on our TV or look on the internet and hear somebody preaching the word, speaking the rainbow word, or giving us life, and we'll hear it and we'll let it pass by us and say it does not apply. But I've come today to tell somebody that there needs to be a realignment of your expectations, because God has not given you what he's given you just for you. He's given it to you for him, for you to use for the edification and of the kingdom and the upbuilding of the kingdom, and not for you to get the big head like Satan did while he got kicked out of heaven. Not for you to think it's all about you, but to God be the glory. Now, we want to look at, there's another example in the Bible, Korah, Moses, they were cousins. See, he's going to get, he was of the tribe of Levi too. But when God told Moses to pick his brother Aaron to be the high priest, Korah going to get jealous. Now, how many know in church there's always somebody think, when somebody else get picked, why didn't they pick me? Or why didn't they pick that one? It should have been, she's more spiritual than that one. She comes to church more. She's more faithful. We all been guilty. I'm guilty. We all been guilty of saying things about things that we don't understand or why. But Corey being jealous, and because he was jealous, he said negativity. He go tell somebody else. He go tell some more of his cousins and tell them about stuff. Here they going to come together against Moses or revoke against Moses, the man of God, the man that God favors. You know, it's dangerous to mess with God's people, especially when God, God favors on his life and God is speaking to him. They think Moses just picked Aaron, accused him. And they did it all publicly, trying to accuse him of making Aaron the high priest. But how many, the Bible lets us know that jealousy is cruel as the grave. And we don't want to ever find ourselves operating in jealousy. And if we let that sting begin to sting us, we need to quickly rebuke it and resist it in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, so that we will not be caught up with jealousy, because jealousy leads to destruction, just like it did for Korah. Because when it was all said and done, Aaron was the high priest because they got the order from the headquarters. As I just said, sometimes we don't understand why things are done the way they're done. But and sometimes we do operate in flesh, but we need to always consult God first. Before we put our mouth on it, let's consult God first to make sure that God is wanting us to have a conversation or have something to do with it. And not only that, the people, not only Korah, but the people that got with him and another group, like 250 more people, commanders and all these that renegade against Moses, God destroyed them all. The family, the friends, he got rid of all of them. So there's danger in getting lifted up in pride and coming against God's will and his priorities. That's why we need to realign our expectations to make sure that we are forever seeking God for his purpose, his will for our lives. And when we find ourselves being engaged in other areas or other situations, we need to, as I just stated, consult God. Look at Pharaoh. One of the greatest emperors of all time, who wouldn't listen when they kept telling him, God said, let my people go. He's thinking he's greater than God. But God lets you know who's really in control. And when it was all said and done, Pharaoh was one. Now, we're still reading about him over 3,500 years later, and we're reading his story that he didn't make it, our army didn't make it, but the children of Israel were able to come across on dry land. Their God, the true and living God, is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that anybody can even imagine or think. So, we have to realize when we change our expectations and stop thinking, it is about us. Glory to God. It is about him, for it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. It is God that gives us the power to get well. It is God that wakes us up in the morning. It is God that gives us the ability to eat. It is God who is our healer and our deliverer. It is God that makes ways out of no ways for us. And he doesn't bless us so we can go brag to give ourselves glory and see what I've accomplished. But he blesses us so we can go tell somebody else about the goodness of God. Hallelujah. To tell them that it was God, that had he not been there for me, I wouldn't have made it. I would have faded. I would have fallen. But he undergirded me. He helped me. He delivered me. He opened doors that were shut in my face. He made a way out of no way. He broke back and didn't go. He said, yes, you can walk just like the children of Israel through the dry land, through the Red Sea. Some of us got Red Seas in our life today. And the enemy is saying, you can't do it. But God said, trust me. And humility is about trust. If you trust in God, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. I guarantee you, he's true to his word. He will direct your path. He will bring you through. He will deliver. deliver you, and he will make a way out of no way. That's the God we serve. And when he has done it, give him the glory. Tell God, thank you, because he deserves it. And he did it all because of love. All because of love. And let's love him back. Let's reciprocate the love that he's given us. Let's not get caught up with the things of the world and start thinking like the world, that it's my thing and I do what I want to do. Or I want to do it my way because it feels good to me. No, you need discipline in your life. A Christian life is disciplined. It is disciplined by the word. That's why he sent his word to us. That's why we have the word. That's why we go and study the word. That's why we go to church, so we can hear the word, so we can grow, and so that we can develop spiritually, so we can develop emotionally, so we can develop spiritually, emotionally. Everything we need is in the word. It's in the word. God will give us a revelatory word. He will reveal his word to give us what we need when we need it. When the children of Israel needed food, he sent food from heaven. When they needed some shoes on their feet, he caused the shoes to withstand the weather. He caused the shoes to dry out. He brought them through the same way that he will bring us through. And then they have the nerve to want to forget the God, hallelujah, that had been so good to them, that had done for them what nobody else could do. Some of us that's on the radio are listening by live on Facebook. Some things that we have faced in our lives, if God hadn't intervened, if he hadn't made a way, if he hadn't stepped in, we wouldn't be here. And we need to forever remember what he has done, to give him glory, to make sure that we don't find ourselves lifted up in pride, that we don't be like Haman, thinking it's all about me, and everybody needs to honor me, and if you don't, I'm going to destroy you. Because remember the old saying, when you dig a ditch for somebody else, you might need a ditch too, because the one you did for them just might be for you, because Haman thought that he had it. But you got to remember that you might be in favor with the person that's in high position. But brothers and sisters, if you're a believer of God, if you got a good relationship with God, great is he that's in you than he is in the world. And he overtaps, he taps the head man on your job. He taps the person that makes the final decision. So if we got God on our side, just like he taps Haman and the thing that he brought up for Mordecai and all the Jewish people wanting to kill them, he ended up being killed. So when people plot against, when people plot against you, don't get caught up with their plot. Pray for your enemies.
Yeah.
Begin to pray for them. Get to the point where you are in an operation in the spirit of humility, that you have a closer walk with God, because God sees and he knows. He knows everything that you're going through. He knows every trial that you're facing. He knows every trial that you don't know you're about to face. You need God. We don't have the opportunity. We don't have time to be letting pride operate in our lives and be leading us. We don't have time for jealousy, because, see, pride after pride, there's resentment, there's bitterness, there's evenness. All of that falls in there. When you can't forgive, you operate in the spirit of pride. When there's bitterness in your heart and you're holding against somebody, whether they did you right or wrong, if you say you love God, you got to let it go. God is the avenger. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. Whatever's right, he'll do the paying. We keep trying to pay people, and we got to get out of God's business, what he's supposed to do, and do what he tells us to do. That's the business we should be doing for God. But many a times we want to tell God what he should do and get in his business and bring forth judgment on others. But God is saying, get in position and remember what I've done for you. Lay prostrate before me. Submit yourself unto me. I got your back. I got every trial that you're going through and will go through. Trust me. Be obedient to my word. And you prove that you can trust God, he'll prove that he'll come through for you. Yeah. Building a better relationship with God is talking about trusting him when you can't see his hand, when it looks like he's not working for you. I want to encourage everybody listening today, continue to trust God, because he knows you. He sees you. He sees the tears that fall from your eyes in the middle of the night when there's nobody to talk to. He sees when you're feeling lonely and you feel as if nobody cares. He sees when you're feeling unloved. He sees when your family won't come and help you, won't come see about you, and you got a need. He sees, and he knows, and he's saying, I have not forgotten you. You need to remember me because I have not forgotten you. But if you remember me and humble yourself, I'll cover you. I'll bring you through, and I will deliver you. I'll fix it so that the enemy won't even know you've been harmed, that you've been touched. He'll do you like the children of Israel. I mean, not the children of Israel, the three Hebrew boys, that they won't know you've been through all of that if you didn't tell it. And we thank God for the word today. I pray that somebody's heart's been touched. I pray that somebody's been blessed. Father God, I thank you for what you've said and what you have given. God, I've given what I heard you give me. I pray to God today that somebody was touched, somebody was blessed, somebody's eyes of understanding was enlightened. God, I pray that all of us search our hearts and begin to align ourselves with your word and realign our expectations. And let us do what you've called us to do and stop expecting you to do everything because it is a two-way relationship. But if we do our part, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to help us. Thank you today for your word. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Cover everyone that's listening today. In Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Elder Bryce. Back up the
word. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, thank you, Lord, for the word and for the prayer. We thank God for it. I'm telling you, it's something to be able to walk in humility. I mean, we got to check it every day. Every day I be thinking, ooh, was that pride, Jesus? I need to be in humility. Thank God for the word today. God has been so good to us. When she was talking about how good God had been to the children of Israel, he's been just that good to us as well. He's done more for us than we could have ever done. But we've got to be thankful, and we got to walk in humility and in gratitude and in thankfulness for all the things that God is doing. It may not look like he's doing it, but God is working. When she started talking about Haman, I thought about the book of Esther. I always think about that. It seemed like God was not mentioned if you read that book. But he was working in there all the time. They might not have been calling his name, but he was working the whole time. He blessed them, and that's the same way he's doing. Sometimes we don't realize because what it looked like don't look like God. But God is in control of everything, so he is working it out on your behalf. And so if we would just humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us in due time. Don't try to exalt yourself. Just humble yourself. If you stay humble, he going to bring you high. If you stay low, he going to bring you high. If you stay on your knees, he going to raise you up. I'm telling you, if we stay in humility, God will do the rest. That's what we got to do. I'm so thankful for the word today, and I'm thankful for this topic, and we'll be back here on next week. But if there's anybody out there under the sound of my voice that does not know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, this is an opportunity for you to give your life to the Lord. If you are sincere in your heart and you want to be saved today, you can be saved today. You don't have to wait till next Sunday, but I will encourage you to find you a Bible-believing teaching church so that you can attend and get strong and strong. But if you need the Lord, if you want to be saved today, if you pray this prayer with me, dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I ask you for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose again from the dead. I turn from my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart.
Yes.
And my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. And, Lord, fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I believe if you prayed that prayer with me and you were sincere in your heart, welcome to the family. Welcome to the family of God. I believe the angels in heaven are rejoicing over that one soul that repeated that prayer and said, I'm giving my life over to the Lord right now over Facebook, over Blog Talk Radio, over the internet, wherever you are, God can do it. And I invite you to good Bible-believing teaching church where you can continue to grow in the Lord and you can continue to learn about God and to know who he is. It is something to know who God is and to be planted on a firm foundation. That's why we're teaching this class. This is foundational teaching. We're teaching because I know what I learned when I got in the church and how they taught me that good foundation. I'm able to stand today because of what God has put inside. He said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It is not of my own, but it is because of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh,
yes.
So thank you today about this. Ooh-wee. Us learning about pride and humility and how we are to govern ourselves and discipline ourselves and be able to have compassion for our brother and trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in him. He'll do it. He'll work it out. He'll
yes,
do it
will.
For you.
Yes.
Oh, God, I thank you and I praise you. Glory to God. We thank God for the teaching. We'll be back here on next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast. Elder Timberlake going to continue on. She didn't say she was finished. That means she got more to tell us on next week about humility. So we thank God for each and every one of you that logged in, those that called in, those that joined us here on Facebook Live, and those that will listen to it in the archives or listen to it later. God bless each and every one of you. And our prayer is that the Lord will be with you this week, that his blood will cover you. We ask the Lord, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, to cover each and every one. Cover every pastor, every prophet, every evangelist, every teacher, every apostle, Father, every elder, every deacon, oh God, in the name of Jesus, every person. Cover them with your blood, Lord. Strengthen them that poured out today. Strengthen them the more, God. Lord, we ask you to bless this country. Lord, we need prayer in this country. We need
yes, Lord.
You to this place, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, they've been doing this kind of stuff, but Lord, we're able to do exceedingly and abundantly. You're
able to go barrier.
Oh God, every liar, everyone is not even telling us the truth. All of these things that are going on, we plead the blood of Jesus over them right now in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over everyone that's under the sound of my voice that's listening to this broadcast, Father. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. Lord, bless those that have lost loved ones. Comfort them as only you can, oh God. Lord, we ask you to tell the power of the Holy Ghost begin to go into hospital rooms and on sick beds, oh God. Those that are needy.
Oh, yes,
God.
Yes.
Thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. The doctor might have brought one report, but Lord, we're going to stand on a report of the Lord that says, by your stripes you are healed. In the name of Jesus. And when the doctors come back, they're going to have a healing report as well, God. We're standing on your word, Lord. We're standing on your word. Hallelujah. We're believing that divine healing is taking place in the bodies of your people, God. And, Lord, they're going to testify of your goodness and how you brought them through and how you brought them over, whether it's body healing, mental healing, emotional healing, financial healing. Lord, we thank you for it today, God. It is done in Jesus' name. We stand it in victory that we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And our testimony today is that we are healed. Hallelujah. In
thank
the
God.
Name of oh,
in
God,
name
we
of,
thank you. We bless
thank
your
you.
Holy name. And we praise your holy name, for you are worthy.
Worthy.
We thank you, Lord, that this week you open your arms of protection is around about us. Your angels are encamped around about us. We thank you for divine protection. We thank you, Lord. We glorify and we magnify your name. Work it out for them, Lord. You know what everybody's standing in need of. You know what their request is, God. I don't know, but you know. But, Lord, we're asking you to do it on their behalf. Oh, God, your will be done. Your will be done.
With Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hey, glory to God. I believe it's done. Oh, God, I thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, God, we thank you today. Bless each and every one of you. We'll be back here next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast. I'm telling you, believe God. Don't believe. Speak the word of God over your situation. Don't say nothing else. If somebody come to you with a report that is not what you're standing on, tell them, I love you, but I can't hear that, because that is not the report of the Lord. I mean it. Do it in love. But don't let nobody speak nothing over your life that you're not believing God for. Speak the word of God over your condition, over your and watch God move. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, God bless each and every one of you. We'll be back here next week on the Prosperous Souls podcast. God bless you.
God bless you.